The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the 9th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who was talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice. This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Thank you, Gina, and thank you, Becky. Sorry about that, everybody. I'm surprised we've never had this happen before, but my computer just decided to stop working in the middle of that LRCC video. So a little bit out of order this morning, but we're going to, I know Becky, did you read the gospel for us this morning already?
Yes.
Okay, thanks. Well, let's just jump on in. We'll just jump on in. So just to give you a little bit of lay of the land of where this gospel text comes from, it comes from the middle of Mark. So we're skipping ahead a little bit here. And since they've been following Jesus this morning, he has been telling his disciples since day one, he's been telling them that he will be handed over to the chief priests and elders, tortured and crucified. And then on the third day, he'll rise again. And the disciples keep saying, no, that doesn't sound right at all. The Messiah is supposed to be a military leader, a king. The Messiah is supposed to bring vengeance and violence and destruction on our enemies. The disciples really love it when Jesus is healing people, but as soon as he starts talking about death on a cross, nobody has it. So this is where we find ourselves today. When Jesus takes James and John and Peter and leads them up on a mountain high apart by themselves, and he is transfigured. This is where we are today. Because telling them the truth of who he is just hasn't worked until now. So he has to show them. Well, as most of you know, Becky and I were co-pastors at a place called Holden Village before I came to Shepherd the Valley. And this is a little village surrounded by these huge mountains in the North Cascades of Washington State. And one day when we were there over the summertime, I heard my friend Jonah talking in the dining hall about how he was going to climb one of these big mountains called Buckskin Mountain. And you have to understand that Jonah is this experienced, professional sort of mountaineer. And I asked him, you know, would you ever be willing to take me, a novice, up a mountain like that, 7,000 feet up? And he said, sure, yeah, of course. And so a few days later, four of us start climbing this mountain. Heather, Andrew, Jonah, and me. And all of them are very experienced, very knowledgeable, very fit kind of people. And thankfully, they were really supportive of this pastor who is huffing and puffing along the way up the mountain behind them. So we're climbing and climbing, and the view is getting better and better as we go up and up and up this mountaintop. And from there, I can see rivers and glaciers and mountains. We're getting 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 feet up, and it's incredible. And at one point, I notice that the climb is getting kind of steeper, right? The drops behind us are getting bigger. The rocks are tumbling down behind me. If I kick a rock, they're falling down cliffs faster and faster. And it's about that time that my friend Heather, who was behind me, kind of helping me along, teaches me a new mountaineering word as we're going up, up, up. She says, the word is exposed. The more exposed you are, the more serious things would be if you fell. And as we go along, I kind of realize that this word exposed is kind of just a euphemism for terrifying, right? Just as things are getting pretty exposed, we get to this point on the top of the mountain after hours of climbing, and I just decided I couldn't take it anymore. I'm in this place, pinched between two boulders up on a cliff, and I can't see anything up, and I can't see anything down. I can't see anything to grab hold on onto. And the worst thing is that if I wanted to go backwards, I couldn't even do that. I couldn't see the way back down or up. And every direction I look is just blocked. And I finally, after sitting there for a few minutes, panicking, I say, "Hey guys, hey Jonah, I can't go any further. I'm just going to stay right here. You enjoy the peak, and then come rescue me when you're done." On the one hand, what these disciples are seeing up on that mountaintop is incredible, right? Just like climbing a mountain, right? It's incredible. On face value, everything they see up to this point seems to be exactly what they've all dreamed of, right? A king, a glamorous, dazzling figure who is a savior. And Elijah and Moses appear. These guys are the heroes of the Old Testament. And at face value, everything on the top of this mountain would seem to be perfect for Peter, James, and John. So the question for us today is, why does the gospel text say that they were terrified? I'll read that again. "Rabbi, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. So why does the gospel say they're terrified if it's so beautiful up here? I have a hunch it's because that with each of these miraculous appearances of Moses and Elijah, these dazzling white clothes, this booming voice of God, with each of these, the idea, their idea of the Messiah begins to just kind of crumble away. Their own ideas of what the way forward is going to look like crumble away. Because sure, Moses and Elijah are heroes, but they're also troublemakers, right? They spend their entire lives with God, putting them up to all sorts of kind of trouble. They're always hunted by their enemies. And then we see these dazzling white clothes. But in all of Scripture, the only people who wear dazzling white clothes like these are the martyrs, which is to say that if Jesus is identifying himself with the martyrs, well, this is not going to end in a stunning defeat of our enemies. These disciples had hoped that they were following a Messiah who would serve out vengeance, boot out the Romans. And up here on the mountain, the reality sinks in that this Messiah is a troublemaker who's heading to Jerusalem. And then we hear it. They were terrified. Or maybe in mountaineering terms, they were feeling pretty exposed. It's no wonder Peter wanted to stay up on the mountain where it was safe, because for the first time, I think he understands who Jesus is and what God is up to. So back on my own mountaintop, Buckskin Mountain, I'm clinging to the side of this mountain and feeling very exposed. I can't see up. I can't see down. Totally petrified. I'm a little like Peter, just thinking, I think I'm just going to build a house here and stay up here forever. And the next thing I know, my friend Jonah pops his head right over the boulder about 10 feet above me, and he says, kind of matter-of-factly looking down at me, he says, "So, Marcus, I guess you've stopped seeing possibilities, huh?" And I think to myself, what do you mean I've stopped seeing possibilities? All I can see is possibilities, right? The endless possibilities that I'll fall off this mountain and die. That's the only thing I can see. But he says, There are loads of ways forward for you. There's loads of possibilities. You can't see them right now because you're afraid. And that's too bad, because the view up here is pretty beautiful at the top. I think that this is what the Apostle Paul means when he says that the gospel feels veiled or hidden, right? When we hit that wall, that feels like the end, right? Like there's nothing left for us. It feels hopeless and exposed. Or our prayers feel like they go unheard, or things aren't going our way. When the world feels like it's caving in on us, we feel exposed, and it feels like we're abandoned and alone. But just because we can't see a possibility doesn't mean it's not there. I made it to the top of Bucksky Mountain, took some deep breathing and encouragement, but Jonah was right. Eventually, I found a handhold here and a foothold there. There were possibilities. Paul tells the Corinthians that when we see Jesus, we are seeing the image of God. And the view from the mountaintop on Transfiguration is beautiful. Here on the mountaintop, we see a Messiah who does not abandon us, even when we can't see him. We see a Messiah who takes us and reveals God's love to us over and over again, this timeless story of God's desperation for us. A love so big that it would die for us. It's a great Valentine's Day message today here on Transfiguration. That's what we see when we look at Jesus, the image of God, a dazzling, bright love that is so wide that it would get into trouble for us, that it goes to the cross for us. And then our work as the people of God with the image of Jesus so clear and bright is that we head back down the mountain, back toward the sick, toward the hurting, back towards the world that is always exposed and in need of this kind of Messiah, this image of God. I want to sing the first verse of our hymn of the day one more time. I know y'all sang it when I was trying to get myself logged back in, but this is the image of God we see here on Valentine's Day, here on Transfiguration Day. Love divine, all loves excelling. Thanks be to God. Amen.